that's off the table tonight. What is on the table, you're going to see during the presentation, and there's a lot of questions that will probably be answered tonight. We will have a spirited question and answer period at the end, but there will probably be more questions that arise after people have had a chance to digest what's here tonight, and that's what the next steps in this process will be. So thank you for being a part of this evening, and for those of you that have been with me for almost 4 years now, thank you for being a part of this journey. We have a lot more to go before anything is finalized, so please stay with us, and it would be my pleasure now to introduce from the city's planning department, who are actually the hosts of the meeting tonight, Tim Jeffries. Tim?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming out tonight. I'm sure we're going to have an energetic. I'd just like to start out this evening by, you know, as the alderman said, emphasizing the reason that we're all here tonight, and it's to talk about the Cortland-Chicago River TIF District. We really want to give everyone here an idea of what this is, how it's moving forward, and answer three big questions. Number one, what is this TIF district? What is it going to look like? What is it going to be? Number two, why is the city designating the Cortland-Chicago River TIF district? And number three, what will happen as a result of this TIF district if it is ultimately approved by City Council? I think that the alderman sort of, you know, covered this in depth already, but I will also emphasize that you notice that the Lincoln Yards plan development is not on this list. This action is sort of moving forward independently of that. That process will have community meetings. It will have community input starting 2 weeks from now. But tonight, we're really here to talk about the TIF district. So just moving on. Just looking at the agenda, I think we'll start off by discussing how we got here. It's really looking at the North Branch Framework Plan, and then that as a driver of this TIF district. We'll then pivot to talking about the TIF districts generally. What are they, if some of you don't know what they are? How are they used in the city of Chicago? And then that will move us into talking specifically about Cortland-Chicago River and those three big questions I talked about earlier. What is the TIF? Why are we doing this? And what will happen because of the designation of the TIF? That last question, we'll sort of get into, you know, one of the meat items of substance in this presentation, the planned projects. That's, you know, sort of the fun part. What people want to see, it's the maps, I guess. We'll get to see maps at that point. And then we'll close things out by outlining the proposed next steps, where we're going to go from here, and then opening up to things and questions. So with that in mind, let's jump right in. So the North Branch Framework Plan. We really can't talk about this proposed TIF district without talking about the North Branch Framework. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this, and many of you might have been one of the 800 people that attended one of the 18 public meetings that were held for it. Just in brief, though, the North Branch Framework was the first of the many comprehensive reviews of the city's 26 industrial corridors. Specifically for North Branch, the framework is intended to modernize the corridor, including its land use, transportation, and open space assets, in order to better meet the changing needs of both the neighborhood and the city as a whole. The framework plan was developed over a period of 10 months and was adopted by the Chicago Planning Commission in 2017. This does outline sort of the pattern of growth, where North Branch is going to go, the development in this area, but that development will also mean significant benefits throughout the entire city of Chicago, because in reality it represents about $10 billion in private investment in this North Branch corridor. That shift will create a waterfall of benefits that will trickle down and move through the rest of the city of Chicago, including 40,000 new jobs, 30,000 construction jobs, including 10,000 jobs in the minority and women-owned businesses, 2,000 units of affordable housing, about $80 million in the Downtown Density Bonus Fund that houses the Neighborhood Opportunity Fund that makes targeted investments in the city's south, southwest, and west sides, $50 million in the North Branch bonus payments that will go towards making improvements, investments in infrastructure in the area that are needed, $50 million in industrial corridor system fee that will be invested in other industrial corridors that are perhaps more suited for this, our modern industrial users. And finally, a 60 acres in parks, which I know is a big concern for everyone, and at least 10 of those acres are dedicated to active recreation. Now, the shift that's outlined in the North Branch Framework Plan is not really something that can happen overnight. It's not something that can happen seamlessly, especially in this area. A particular challenge is infrastructure. As things currently stand, the roads, the bridges, the public transportation, the facilities for walking and biking are all oriented towards industrial users. They are not meant to be integrated into a neighborhood. They weren't designed that way. And if this area is going to shift towards a more mixed-use area or neighborhood, that clearly has a different set of infrastructure standards that are not in place. These maps up here, I guess, take a step back. The North Framework Plan recognizes that. It understands that, and it did call out a series of improvements. You can see on the maps here, there were short-term, mid-term, and long-term improvements for those things I was talking about. Roads, public transportation, new bridges, walking and biking facilities. That is not a small thing, though, to do this. That's an enormous investment, not only in city in time, but in city resources. And to do that, that means funding. The North Branch Framework Plan did identify a number of potential funding sources to help move this along. Some of these have already been adopted or are in place. I'm sorry, let's see one slide. Some of these, as I said, are already adopted or in place. The first three on this list, the Industrial Corridor System Fee and the North Branch Corridor Bonus, were both adopted by City Council in July of 2017. The Downtown Density Bonus, that was approved in May of 2016. And there's other things that will be pursued. The city will, as it always does, look to secure state and federal grants in order to offset local dollars, and TIF. We are looking at TIF. The North Branch Framework Plan did identify that, and it's the reason we're here. So just before we specifically dive into the Portland-Chicago River TIF, I think it's just good to provide a little context about what TIF is and how Chicago uses it. So as it says up here, at its most basic, TIF districts are a funding tool, and they generate financial resources to support development projects within a specific geography. Specifically in Chicago, we've had TIFs since 1984 when the state of Illinois passed the TIF Act, allowing municipalities to designate these districts. That legislation has been amended a number of times, but it still does provide the legal framework, the rules, and the regulations for how cities across the state can use TIF. This framework allows Chicago to establish TIF districts, but only in specific geographies that need special eligibility requirements. These are generally what the Act calls blighting factors. Later in this presentation, we're going to go through those individually. We'll demonstrate how they are relevant to Chicago-Portland River and why we believe that the area meets the standards for TIF. Once a city does designate a TIF, there's limitations on how TIF can and cannot be used. It's not just a, you know, free check that the city can just dip into for whatever we want. There's very defined things that we can and cannot use funds for. Most commonly, though, there are public infrastructure and public facilities, affordable housing, environmental remediation, and the rehabilitation of existing buildings. Now, all that said, dive into this later as well, but Chicago Portland River is meant to be a bit unique, and it's the city's expectations that TIF funds will be limited to the use of public infrastructure. As the alderman said, it is our expectation that this TIF will not be used to provide money for private developer building private developments. So that's what TIF is. But this chart does a good idea of showing how TIF works. Once the city designates a TIF, you can see the sort of line at the bottom that says TIF adopted. The county treasurer will actually freeze the TIF, or the freeze the taxes at that moment. Once that happens, any taxes that go above that line, which you can see in green, those are called incremental property taxes. And any incremental property taxes are put into its own fund, Chicago River Fund, and it's used for projects within that TIF district. The frozen grow the tax base will continue to go to the taxing bodies as they always do. Usually for a term of 23 years, which is the life of a TIF. Once the TIF expires, it just goes away and the taxing resumes as normally would. Just by way of a simple example, let's say your property is in the TIF, and let's say mercifully that your property taxes are $100. I had in here pause for laughter. I'm glad someone indulged me. So after 1 year, your property taxes go up by $5. So your property taxes total are $105. The $100 would go to the same place they always do, the city, the schools, the parks. That $5, however, would go to Cortland Chicago River. And it would go on like that for every property for every year for 23 years. Thank you. So that's basically how TIF works, but I just want you to understand how TIF is used in Chicago. One of the more common misunderstandings of TIF is that it is a giveaway to private development and it's some sort of corporate welfare. I think that the data shows that idea really just doesn't bear out. So this pie up here, let's say that is all of the TIF allocations in the city of Chicago during the Emanuel administration, May 2011 to October 2018. The single largest, in total, it's about $280 million on average a year. So in that pie, the single largest category of the single largest recipient of TIF funds is public capital improvements. A full 67% of all TIF dollars allocated go to things like roads, bridges, public transportation improvements, parks, schools, police and fire stations, and libraries. Two-thirds of every dollar for TIF goes to public uses. The balance, yes, it does go towards private users. But that includes 12% that goes to affordable housing and private institutional users that generally include things like hospitals or nonprofits. So in the end, only about 20% of all TIF funds are allocated to what we would call economic development projects. In many cases, those are warranted, and they go through a process to be vetted and approved. If you look, this is citywide, I guess. If you look in the North Branch area, the TIFs that are immediately around here, that trend only accelerates. Nearly 85% of every TIF dollar used in this area, and the three TIFs around here, Goose Island, North Branch North, and North Branch South, are used on public infrastructure, on public capital improvements, and 81 of the 84% is infrastructure, roads, bridges, public transit. That also includes, I guess I should say, a large allocation to the Damon Fortune Elston project, which everybody loves. So that brings us to why we're really here tonight, which is the Cortland Chicago River TIF. So as I said, the goal of the presentation is to really answer three big picture questions. What is the TIF district? Why is the city designating this TIF district? And what will be done with the TIF? We'll do a review of all of these individually, but let me give you a little table setting and give you a quick preview. So Cortland Chicago River, what is it? It's TIF district. It sits in about 160 acres in the former North Branch Plant Manufacturing District. It's roughly bounded by Webster Avenue to the north, Clybourne to the west, North Avenue to the south, and Elston to the west. I think all of you should have gotten maps when you came in, but eventually this will also be up on the city's website to see the map and the presentation. After review, we determined that this area does meet the TIF Act standards for what we call blighted. Again, we'll review those categories immediately after this. So why are we designating it? It's really an extension, as I said earlier, of the North Branch Framework Plan. It will help implement the recommendations laid out in that document, and later we'll identify the goals of this TIF and show how they can support the North Branch Framework. And then finally, what will be done? We will be using this to develop infrastructure, and we'll go through the maps, we'll go through some of the projects that we anticipate will utilize TIF in the future to make this area better.
better, more livable, less congested. So we'll get this part started. I'm actually going to turn this over right now to Ann Maroney from Johnson Research Group to review the designation criteria and the eligibility of the area. Her firm was the city's tip consultant for this project, and she has done the analysis and can do a better job than I can talking through this right now.
Good evening, everyone. Tim stole a lot of my thunder. I was going to tell you my conclusions after I talk about our findings, but I am Ann Maroney. I'm with the firm of Johnson Research Group, and we were engaged to do an eligibility study on behalf of the City of Chicago to study an area and determine what factors exist and does it qualify as a TIF district. So the area, as you described, is North Avenue to Webster, and we looked at the area roughly from Elston Avenue to Clybourne. And as part of our study, we undertook a number of field surveys looking at building, site, infrastructure conditions throughout the area. We investigated a number of data points that included county assessor, treasurer, and recorder of deeds data. We looked at data from the City of Chicago, including building code violations and building permit data. We looked at maps that identified sewer and water infrastructure conditions. We looked at planning. We looked at zoning. And then we looked at environmental conditions through studies that have been conducted, including private phase one and phase two studies that are available. We looked at Illinois and federal EPA documents that are available. And we reviewed any number of previously prepared plans, studies, and reports, including the framework, the North Brantley Framework Plan. So after doing all that, we looked at, we plotted our data points. The area that you're looking at here has both vacant area and improved area. And under the TIF Act, those areas have different criteria. So we looked at the improved area on the face of its factors that are present in the vacant area criteria based on those. And our findings our findings are that the improved area has five eligibility factors. These include obsolescence, deterioration, excessive land coverage, inadequate utilities, and lagging EAV. On the vacant side, there are four factors present. This includes obsolete cladding, environmental remediation or contamination presence, deterioration in adjacent areas to that vacant area, and again, lagging EAV. The proposed TIF boundaries, as a result, were determined based on these eligibility factors. And we included only those areas of contiguous blocks that reflected the eligibility conditions and would benefit from inclusion in the TIF. Consequently, you'll find you'll find some cutouts, and those are areas that don't qualify, don't have enough factors, and don't benefit from the inclusion. Include things like Webster Place and Home Depot. We're going to go through a couple of pictures to show you some of how, or, you know, examples of what we found. These next slides include some, but not all, of the factors. What you're looking at here is a picture of obsolescence. It's where buildings are outmoded by contemporary design, and some of the factors that can be seen here are outdated mechanical systems. You see window AC units. You see truck bays that are inadequate for today's industrial uses. And you see in the next slide, obsolescence is also present in buildings of limited size or, they're designed for one purpose, and converting these buildings is difficult and costly. Deterioration can be found in buildings, in sites, and in infrastructure, and it's located throughout the area. Throughout the area, both private and public right-of-way, you'll find abandoned railroads from, years back when that was the predominant use or predominant transportation. You also find broken, cracked, or missing street curbs and gutters throughout the area. On bridges, I'm sure you're familiar with Cortland and Webster bridges. There are cracked, falling concrete and rusted through bridges throughout. And then we have river wall, the seawall. We have deterioration in buildings. We found rusted loading berths, deterioration of walls, windows, and doors throughout the area. On the seawall, there's parts that are deteriorating such that industrial debris is falling into the river. Excessive land use coverage is sort of a difficult factor to sort of identify, but a couple of these pictures kind of capture it. Some of the resulting characteristics are there's inadequate provision for loading, service, and parking. And you can kind of see this in this picture. The cars are jutting out into the street. There's no place to park the trucks, so they sit in the streets. In other pictures, you can see the property goes from covers the entire block and goes from street to street. There's no access for parking and loading and service. And that includes both for industrial areas and then some of the commercial areas that are located in the area. Obsolete platting is another factor. It really applies to the vacant area. And it's where parcels of irregular size and shape are difficult to develop. Inadequate rights of way, widths for streets and alleys are a problem. Sometimes in this case we have landlocked parcels with no access to street right of way. We have several partial or full street vacation causing discontinuous rights of way. And you can kind of see that throughout the vacant area. And then lastly, some of these pictures show some of the environmental contamination, also hard to see from a picture, but our studies indicate that after 150 plus years of industrial use, there is serious environmental contamination that is in the process of being remediated, much, much more to go. Data shows that there's the presence of a number of different factors, from leaking underground storage tanks throughout the vacant area to multiple chemicals that exceed EPA levels. We also have on the south end of the property a federal Superfund site that is that's on the national priorities list. So as a sort of an example, or collectively, these findings support a conclusion that the area does qualify as a TIF district. The vacant area qualifies as a blighted area under its criteria, and the improved area qualifies as a blighted area under the improved area. So together, the condition is a blighted area. As part of this process, the designation process, we do an eligibility study and a redevelopment plan. The redevelopment plan includes goals and objectives and how you're going to spend, how you're going to redevelop the property to get rid of these blighted factors. So I'm going to hand it back to Tim Jeffries so he can tell you all about the next steps in the process.
So really the next big question to cover is, why are we doing this? We've covered it to some degree by talking about the North Branch Framework Plan. Not to some degree, it is why we're doing it. This TIF district really is meant to be a continuation of the Framework Plan that will help advance its implementation and the recommendations contained in it. And that said, this TIF is still an independent thing. It still needs to stand on its own. It will have its own redevelopment plan that has its own redevelopment goals. But in order to really tie these two documents together and emphasize that they are moving together in tandem, the goals of this TIF district are the same as the goals of the North Branch Framework Plan. This will help emphasize the need to use funds on particular projects. It will also help move these things together in tandem. So specifically, the goals are, number one, maintain the area as an important economic engine and vital job center within the North Branch Industrial Corridor and the City of Chicago. Number two, provide better access for all transportation modes. And number three, build upon the area's unique natural and built environment. So within those goals, no matter what the city does, still the overriding number one objective will be to develop new infrastructure that serves the area and meets those goals and advances each of those goals. With that in mind, the city's approach to how we use funds, particularly in this TIF district, are a little bit different than other places. First and foremost, the use of TIF will be focused on the development of infrastructure, not as a subsidy for private developers. Let me say that again. TIF will be used to develop infrastructure, not for the construction of buildings for private developers. Now, that said, does that mean that we won't partner with private developers for this? No, we might. How the city advances this could be in partnership with private developers. The city could provide TIF funds to private developers, but if we do, it will be for the use of public infrastructure that will be built by them and conveyed and controlled by the City of Chicago. Developers will be required to front fund this improvements, meaning that they do the work and then will get reimbursed from TIF funds from incremental property taxes that they themselves generate. This structure transfers a lot of the risk from the city and puts it on the developer because they have to do the work. If they don't do the work, then the city won't pay them for the infrastructure. Now, it's also worth pointing out that if this does happen and the city does pursue redevelopment agreements with developers for the development or for private infrastructure, anything like that would go to city council. It would have its own process that would be reviewed and approved by city council or would move forward. So with that said, with the understanding of sort of what TIF is, why this area is a TIF, and how the city sees it advancing the use of TIF here, I think that it's important to give everyone a sense of, well, what are we going to do with TIF? And that's the maps. There we go. So on this map is the sort of immediate area surrounding this TIF district, and highlighted in green are all the projects that are currently under consideration. Nearly all of them, in one way or another, were considered or contemplated or specifically called out by the North Branch Framework Plan. I'll talk about all of these specifically in sort of broad categories, but it's important to emphasize that none of these are definitely moving forward tomorrow. All of them are in the planning process. That goes doubly so for any of the items that are sort of hatched. The circle on the left, the box on the bottom, and the line on the right. Those are extremely conceptual right now, and no decisions were made on either design or alignment or anything like that. At this point, they're just lines on a map, but they are ideas that the city is thinking about advancing. If they do go further, they will have their own public process, just like the 606 did, just like the Damon, Elston, and Fullerton project did, and just like these will. So that said, we can sort of talk about these in big areas. So one of the more important investments that the city can make in the area is in those facilities that already exist. Highlighted on the map here is Kingsbury, Cortland, and Elston. All of these were at one time designed as industrial streets. All of them now are responsible for traffic snarls and congestion in the area. Improving them, making them more modern, more conducive to the residential needs of the area, as well as the mixed use needs that are pending, will help congestion in the area, help traffic flow. Other key considerations that we're looking at are redoing bridges at Cortland and Webster. In addition to improving existing streets, is constructing new streets. We're looking at the development of new roadways in the area that will help reestablish a more coherent network. This will provide some critical relief for traffic and congestion in the area, particularly on Webster, Clybourne, and Nelson. highlighted on the map, the one in the middle, that's, we'll call it Dominic, it could be anything in the future, that would be inclusive of the new bridge. The east-west connection, that would be an extension of Armitage Avenue, along with another bridge, and eventually redoing the viaducts that connect there that are troublesome for everyone when they go underneath the railroad. Down in the south end is Concord, an extension of Concord, culminating with a pedestrian bridge over the river. All of these are ideas that the city is pursuing. Sort of a mix of old and new is Elston, Ashland, and Armitage. I don't think it's a shock to anyone that this intersection isn't great. Anyone who's gone through here knows that it's confusing, it's narrow, it becomes dangerous at times. The obvious parallel is, of course, Damon, Elston, and Fullerton. Following the completion of that project, I think that anyone who's gone through there recently can say, you know, that it's noticeably less congested, backups have been reduced, the roads are safer, and the facilities for walking and biking are miles ahead of where they used to be. He's also considering transit improvements. One of the biggest goals of the North Branch Framework Plan was to retain this area as a center for jobs, even if those jobs are shifting their sector, shifting their economy. Part of that will be the development of fast and reliable public transportation options for commuting and just bringing people to and from the area generally. Two of the things under consideration to help make that happen are the replacement or the improvement of the Clybourne Metro Station, as well as the development of a transit way that would link downtown with the North Branch Corridor. And finally, is the 606 extension. The city is planning on building on the clear success of the 606 by extending the trail from its existing terminus at Walls Park. The extension would cross the Union Pacific rail lines, the Kennedy and the Chicago River, in order to facilitate an easier connection to Armitage and Clybourne Avenues, which are two critical bike paths in the city. And it would also, over time, connect with the extension or the network of Riverwalk parks and trails that will be developed. So if you take these in total, that's about $700 million in infrastructure investments that are needed. There's likely more to be added on this list, but these are the clear priorities. Now that figure, they should say, is a total need. It's not what we're expecting to spend on TIF. As I said earlier, North Branch Framework Plan has identified a number of sources, North Branch fees, industrial corridor fees, things like that, developer contributions through as individual developers come in and construct their private development, they'll be expected to make certain contributions in infrastructure. And, of course, TIF. Yes, TIF will be used for some of these projects. But the city will do, as it always does, and look to other resources to stretch our local dollars as far as it possibly can in order to maximize what we can and can do in these areas. So that is taking us to the end of our presentation. But in terms of where we go from here and the next steps in our designation process, as the Alderman said at the outset, this is really just a start. We do have a series of meetings coming up. Next is the Community Development Commission will introduce the plan at that, and it'll be open for public review. Eventually, we'll have a CDC hearing, which is a public hearing and public commentary, and eventually we'll go to Finance and City Council. If it's approved at all of this, if it's approved at all of those meetings, it will be approved by City Council, or at least go to City Council for review and potential approval. I will point out, as the Alderman said at the beginning, if you are interested in the Lincoln Yards Plan Development Meeting, it's coming up on November 29th, it's in this room. So at this time, I think we're going to turn it over to questions. I'll ask Chip Hastings to come up, and he will moderate this. He'll talk about some just the process, how we're going to organize, and go from there.
Good evening. So again, my name is Chip Hastings. I'm the Managing Deputy Commissioner in the Department of Planning. First off, I was remiss in not doing so earlier. I want to thank Mike Rolfes, and I apologize if I butchered your last name, the Executive Director here in Renew Chicago, for graciously allowing us to host this meeting here in this facility this evening. It's been mentioned a few times previously. The PD meeting will be here again on the 29th in the same room. So thank you, Mike. We're going to open the floor for questions in a couple minutes. I would mention that some of you already found it. Thank you. So there's a microphone over there and a microphone over there. What I was going to say is that we'll take questions from the audience. I was planning to call on folks so that you can step to the microphone. Feel free to state your name, pose your question. I'll direct your question to one of the panel members. We'll try to answer the question as best they can. You heard from Tim Jeffries, Deputy Commissioner in the Financial Incentives Division. You've also heard from Anne Maroney in the Johnson Research Group. Also on our esteemed panel this evening, Eleanor Gorski, Bureau Chief with the Planning and Historic Preservation and Sustainability Division, who many of you have probably met with previously, as well as Luann Hamilton, Deputy Commissioner in the Department of Transportation. So since some of you have already queued up, I was planning to ask folks to raise their hand, and I call you down, so we'll sort of draw a line in the sand behind the folks that are already up, and anyone after that, if you raise your hand, I'll ask you to step down if you would be so kind. So with that, I'll go ahead and ask that. Oh, one more thing I forgot. We'll take questions. We'll get to as many questions as possible around 7:30, 7:40-ish. We'll ask Alderman Hopkins to make a closing statement, and then we'll make ourselves available as well afterwards for a few minutes. So, without further ado.
Hi, my name is Ross Howard. I just had some questions about this TIF district. I think it might have been useful for you all to show more of the North Branch Framework Plan, which I've seen, and I was kind of wondering about the land use and zoning changes in that area, which are going to be retained for industrial uses and which are going to be turned into, you know, luxury development, for lack of a better term, and also what kind of zoning restrictions might there be? Are there going to be, you know, if the private developers are not going to be getting any public funds, you know, is that going to hamper any efforts to check the scale of the development? And just like to hear some more of that. Sorry if that's kind of an open-ended question, but
that's fine. I'll try to take first stab at that. So as far as the zoning goes, the TIF plan, the proposed TIF plan does not impact the zoning. It doesn't impact the underlying zoning. Any developments that move forward within the TIF will go through our legislative process. Any changes to the zoning would have to go through that as well. So this does not impact the zoning. I think there's two land use categories in the plan that are pretty flexible that allow for multiple uses within the designated area. Let's shift over here.
Thank you. My name is Alan Mellis. First of all, Eleanor, Luann, nice to see you guys. My name is Alan Mellis, president of Friends of Optimal Transportation, Foot Lincoln Yards. We, along with many of our fellow members, have previously testified at the North Branch Framework Plan meetings. I have previously submitted to you a list of 35 questions. I know Eleanor said she had gotten them, which we'd like to have answered. However, what I'd like to do is just ask you one three-part question right now. And this is based upon, and I know a lot of people in the audience who went to the Framework Plan meetings were concerned that a lot of our concerns were not addressed. So, and I'll give you, an example. But so my biggest question is, the first part of this is, will our community input be included in decision of what community benefit infrastructure projects will be included in the proposed TIF? Because it appears to me, even though my friend Alderman Hopkins said this is not about Lincoln Yards, it looks like it's about Lincoln Yards. When you talk about extending Dominick rather than Southport, that's what Sterling Bay wants to do. So that's my first question is, how much influence will the community have in deciding the projects that are going to be included and its priorities?
Would you like to get to your next point, and I'll address that as well?
Shouldn't Sterling Bay pay for traffic congestion mitigation infrastructure improvements and a need for a public school that will be directly caused by the impact of their development? In other words, It sounds like the last part, shouldn't TIF money be used for additional public benefits, such as open space that will benefit the entire community? That's it.
Okay.
You're going to answer the other 32.
We'll get to the other 32 as well at some point, I promise. So as far as the process goes, the TIF plan is a framework. It's a financing plan. It's a way to pay for the infrastructure projects that we mentioned. The infrastructure priorities that the city's pursuing that we've identified in the presentation this evening, they were identified through the North Branch Framework Plan, which you apparently were an active participant in. The document was developed as part of a robust planning process over multiple years, 2 years approximately, roughly 12 community meetings. In terms of the community process moving forward, we're here tonight. There will be a PA meeting on the 29th, and I would reiterate what Tim mentioned as part of his presentation. Any funding that we provide, any TIF dollars that are used, have to go through a lengthy and detailed community process, a legislative process. This isn't the end of the road, so to speak, right in the pond. It's the beginning. As far as CPS goes, schools are an eligible cost. We'll work with CPS to gauge the demand, the need, and if that's something that has to be addressed moving forward, we'll certainly address that. And I think that was it.
So, you didn't answer my question, though. Okay? My question is, all the people in this audience, thank you. All these people in the audience have come to this meeting to provide you input. It sounds like to me, and probably to a lot of other people, that it's already done. That you're going through the process, and when you tell me there are going to be so many meetings, you know, once it goes past the CDC and it goes to the Plan Commission says, oh, the CDC already approved it. When it goes to City Council says the Plan Commission already approved it. I notice your schedule is having this all done before the mayor leaves office in May. How are we, the community that are been living with this project for many years, can add input into the projects that we think should be done, including open space, like a lot of people are here for, and really shouldn't Sterling Bay, like in a lot of other municipalities across the country, they are required to pay for infrastructure improvements out of their own funds.
I'll try to answer the last part of your question, then I'll move on to the next question. I appreciate all you staying patiently. I think we mentioned in the presentation, there are multiple funding sources for every potential infrastructure need within the proposed TIF area, including TIF, including state, including federal, including the developer, and including fees that would be generated as part of the North Branch Corridor payment fees. So with that, I'd ask you...
Well, let me finish. Can you finish answering my questions? I had three. State funding, there has not been a capital plan for the state since, I think, 2009, if I'm correct. So when you say state funding, I'd like you to tell me where you anticipate getting money from the state.
So my point is that the TIF will be relied upon heavily to provide funds for the infrastructure improvements that are necessary for the corridor. In addition, we'll pursue every remedy, every possibility for additional funding sources. Can I stand here and tell you over the next 23 years how much we would utilize in state proceeds? No, I cannot. Can I tell you how much we would utilize in federal proceeds? No, of course I can. But I can tell you that those three buckets, in addition to the corridor fees, and the developer will pay, it's a five-pronged tax for funding and infrastructure improvements that we laid out this evening. And I would appreciate if there's a lot of people here, there's a lot of folks standing. If we can kindly move on to the next question.
Which can you answer my third question?
Or handle it? Yes.
Yeah, I've been doing this for a long time, so I probably know half the people in the audience and the other half know me.
So let me, hold on, sir. Eleanor, do you have anything you want to add in terms of the North Branch Framework Plan, the process that was undertaken?
I think this is on. Alan, I was going to suggest that I'm happy to meet with you offline, off of this, to talk through your 32 questions. But in terms of the public process coming up, I think, is that where you were going with your last question?
Yes.
The public process?